And the reading for this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2, reading verses 4 through to 12. Entitled in the Bibles you have, and perhaps under your seat or close by, The Living Stone and a Chosen People. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear Lord, we hold in prayer Paul and we give thanks. We give thanks for his preparation and his call to serve you. Dear Lord, may you guide what Paul says, and may you guide us with ears that listen to you. And may you guide us in our lives beyond this worship, as we worship in our day to day, in our minute to minute, Lord. Amen. Thank
you. Good morning, everybody. Nowadays, if you want to find out about a person, you go on the internet and you look at Google and you look at Wikipedia, and it'll tell you everything from their birth date to their marriage details, to their children, to their discography, to what films they've made, and everything else under the sun. It used to be that if you wanted to find out about a person, you would talk to their friends and you would talk to their relatives. You would ask them particular questions about them, and they would tell you and give you the background of the person that you wanted to know. In this sermon series on Christian living, we are effectively asking Jesus' disciples and his half-brothers what he has to say to us about living in the world as his followers. In our third sermon from the New Testament letters, we are examining what Peter, the erratic one from the Gospels, now spirit-filled and imbued with godly wisdom, what he says to Christ's loyal followers living in what is now northern Turkey, and many of whom were slaves. Next week we're going to go into 2 Peter, then 1 John, then Jude, then James. That's a good selection, isn't it? From the disciples and from the relatives of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to follow what we're talking about today, you will find 1 Peter chapter 1 on page 1270 in the light Bibles and page 1218 in the darker brown ones. But these nine verses are a wonderful affirmation to and an encouragement of these Christians. It's only in the last two verses that the directives about good living come, but they are implicit through everything that Peter says, addressing his followers. The first seven verses talk about Jesus, how he is described in three Old Testament passages, and how his followers then and us now are like him. So we start with verse 4. As you come to him. Peter knew the habits and the behaviour patterns of these people. He knew that they prayed. He knew that they worshipped. He knew that they gave to others. He knew that they served the Lord, who he calls the living stone. He, Jesus, is described as the one chosen by God before the beginning of time, and infinitely precious to him. In the three Old Testament references, he's described firstly in Isaiah 28, verse 16, as a chosen and a precious cornerstone. Now, the cornerstone was the most important stone in the building, because from it, the rest of the X and the Y and the Z were all aligned. We talk about a foundation stone. In fact, the foundation stone for this building is round the corner, and it's halfway up that pillar. So, in fact, it's become largely symbolic and certainly not crucial to the integrity of the building. Then he goes on to Psalm 118:22, and that talks about a rejected stone being reselected. So it's among the debris, and somehow it becomes chosen, and it becomes then the capstone of the arch, the stone that holds the whole of the arch together. Jesus was despised. He was rejected. He was crucified. He died before rising from the dead as Saviour and Lord for all who believe and trust in him. And then Peter goes back to Isaiah 8:14, which refers to a stone which is a stumbling block and even causes some people to fall. Certainly to those who fail to accept and follow him, Jesus can be an irritant until hopefully they see him in his reality of love and truth and peace, and they turn to him for life in all its fullness. Peter makes two remarkable declarations about this particular group of Jesus followers, which I believe are also meant for you and me today as Jesus' followers. Firstly, in verse 5, he says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You also, like living stones. You, he says, we by inference, are part of this living being. Through your belief and your trust in Jesus, you are joined to the cornerstone and made by him into a holy priesthood. More about that in a minute. And by your service of him, you are offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God. St. Paul tells us we are the body of Christ. And if you're a man, we're going to talk about that in our Bible study group tomorrow. But here, St. Peter tells us we are being built into the temple of God. That's pretty mind-blowing, isn't it? The body of Christ, the temple of God. But it gets even better. In verse 9, he says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." Remember, Peter is writing to a bunch of disparate slaves and mixed up people who are probably Greeks and Romans and Jews and all kinds and sorts of people and nations. They were living in small communities in northern Turkey, yet here they are described by four highly significant nouns and compelling adjectives. So firstly, you are a chosen people. If you read through the Old Testament, particularly the beginning of the Old Testament, you will find that the Israelites are described many times as God's chosen people. But now, under the new covenant instituted by the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross, accompanied by the tearing of the veil of the temple from top to bottom, all who believe and trust in Jesus are chosen by God to be his people. All are chosen to be his people. Paul puts it this way, writing to the church in Galatia, not a million miles away from these congregations. He said, "There's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ." Jesus puts it in terms of love. He says, "Love one another. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy." How? Love God. So firstly, a chosen people. Secondly, you are a royal priesthood. Royal because we have been chosen by the King of Kings. Priests, each one of us, because the ancient priesthood of Israel was done away with when the old covenant was replaced by the new covenant. So each one of us can reflect the holiness of Christ as his Holy Spirit works in us and works through us. We can pray for ourselves and for others, not needing a priest to be an intermediary, but praying through Christ. We can offer our sacrifices of praise and of service directly to God, and we are appointed as his ambassadors to the world. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. So chosen people, royal priesthood, and thirdly, a holy nation. A holy nation. Again, the comparison to the ideal of the Old Testament nation of Israel. You and me, a mixed bag of individuals from all different lives, are together a nation. And what's more, we are holy. Do you ever think of yourself as holy? Do you know that when Jesus came into your life, when you became a Christian, he made you holy from the inside out? This enabled his Holy Spirit to come and start working in your spirit and helping you and me to say and to do and to think the things of the kingdom of God. And his continued action upon each one of us is what helps us to grow in holiness and makes us into a holy nation. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer of John 17, says this, "For them," for his followers, "for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." To be sanctified means to be made holy. And that is the action that Jesus has upon your life and upon mine. Fourthly, we are a people belonging to God. Not just individuals, but together a people. I wonder if you remember the Crocodile Dundee film. Mick, I think it's probably his second film. Mick and his American girlfriend are in the outback in Australia, and all they can see is a lake, a swamp, some trees, and beautiful countryside and beautiful birds and animals. And she says to him, "Mick, what do you call this place?" And he sort of thinks a little bit and looks around and he says, "Belonger, Mick. Work it out. You and I belong to God. He has called us He has chosen us, he has made us holy, he has anointed us to be priests through Jesus Christ, and he has made us into his nation, his people belonging solely to him. Hallelujah. Yeah. In John 15, Jesus declares to his followers, I no longer call you servants. Instead, I have called you friends. Wow. Thank you, Lord. So why are we a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God? Well, verse 9, the second part tells us this. He says, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are these things, so we may declare the praises of God to other people. Brothers and sisters, can you remember when you lived in darkness without Jesus' glorious light? Maybe it was a long time ago for you. Sean, a couple of weeks ago in his testimony, told us it wasn't a long time ago for him. But Jesus pulled him out of the darkness, of the pit of despair, and gave him a new life as a son of the King. Thanks be to God for that. If there's anybody in our congregation today who is aware that they're not living in the light of Jesus Christ, maybe today is the day for you to change. I encourage you to come to Jesus. Maybe you need a little bit of help, and there will be people there to pray after our sermon. It's easy. You say to God, here I am. I'm sorry for the things that I have done wrong. Please forgive me, and please come and live in me from now on. And he does. And that's what makes you and me chosen people. God calls us to live with him and to declare his praises. Are we up to it? And then at the end of this passage, verse 10, he says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God has given to each one of us the gift of his mercy. Dear friends, Peter says, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. Have you ever thought yourself as an alien? Well, that's how Peter describes us before we came to Jesus. And then when we came to Jesus, we are aliens because we don't belong in the world. He says, abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. God wants us to be involved with him, to do the good deeds that he has chosen us to do. So let each one of us glory in the privilege that God has given us to be part of his chosen people, his royal priesthood, his holy nation, his people belonging to him. And as we have the privilege, let us take also the responsibility. Let us worship him. Let us serve him through the power of his Holy Spirit, with the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, and to the glory of our loving Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. Bless you.